The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This story doesn't start in the desert. This is a story about baptism. When we celebrated the baptism of our Lord, we heard how he was baptized by John in the water of the Jordan River, and how the Spirit descended upon him, and his Father said of him, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." With a voice loud enough for all to hear, so that it would be remembered for all time. And if he had a sense of what was coming next, perhaps the Son, coming up from the Jordan, filled with the Holy Spirit, would have begun this journey into the desert, answering to his Father, "O my Father in heaven, your name is holy." But with all the noise down at the river that day, some things may not have made it into the record. Led up by the Spirit, would the Son incarnate, living into the reality of the aim and desire of his Father, have begun to pray for the will of his Father to come to pass? This temptation is something that he must pass through, and the Father and the Spirit have set him in this place for this time. And the devil meets him there. Today's story picks up here, in this world, where our adversary, the devil, can walk around and talk to us, and there is no hiding from him. Oh, for the day when the kingdom of the Lord will come in all its glory, and the adversary will be no more. That is the kingdom the Son is here to bring. Waiting for the adversary, we see a hungry man in the desert. What is it to feel that empty, gnawing feeling? To be so hungry, your body has begun to consume its own muscle tissue in a search for sustenance. Man may not live by bread alone, but after 40 days and 40 nights, even the crumbs from the bread made in the morning would be life-giving. Such a small thing which we may ask for, but the one who is the bread of life is being tried, so that when we will be fed by him, we will not be in want. Show them, the devil chides after the Messiah. Throw yourself down and rise up again, carried by your heavenly angels. Stand on this temple in the heart of the city, where all your people could see, and show them all. Do not fail your Father and fall into my grasp. Show them all exactly who and what you are. Wouldn't that feel like success? Wouldn't that be enough to win them over to you? To let there be no doubt in their minds about who you are? Isn't that what you're here for? And what if we were tempted? Do we have the strength not to seek such a glorious show of power? But he is not tempted, because this is the one that when he descends, when he drops and falls and throws himself down, he will go all the way to the gates of hell to break the bonds of sin, which the devil long thought would give him claim to God's creatures for all of eternity. And when he will raise himself up, it will not be in some vainglorious demonstration of power. It will be real. It will be the death-defeating, bond-of-sin-breaking, curtain-tearing, eternally world-changing event, so that he can send out a woman in the garden to tell his story. And then the devil, believing himself to be the most crafty, begins seeking to hold ransom the one who has ransomed us. He stands there and he wants to show something to the Lord. All these kingdoms could be yours, and only for such a small price. All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And in this moment, Christ, the man, is seeing the whole of creation that he, the divine word, spoke into existence. He is seeing the whole of creation, which his love made for us. So in this moment, as if there was any doubt, all of the devil's effort is for naught. Our Creator Lord is standing with the one who now knows that he cannot force our Lord to become indebted to him. In this effort to leverage our Savior into the adversary's eternal service, this last vain attempt to cause the Christ to worship him, the devil has shown the Lord the thing which he will give his life for, so that it will never fall into Satan's hands. Our Savior is seeing the fullness of his creation, and he knows that when he completes his saving work, he will owe nothing to any other power, that the saving and redemptive work is from him and him alone. And because he is indebted to no one, neither will his children be indebted to anyone. So the children of the Lord will know that when they seek forgiveness of their sins, a process that will never end so long as the tempter is in the world, the children will carry no debt, and the Lord will lead them on the path to learn to forgive one another as well. This baptismal story doesn't start in the desert. The Father is not finished glorifying the Son. But this is the start of how the life in baptism is patterned for us. The life of the baptized is different. It is a life which the Spirit has been poured into, a life which the Father is so pleased to call his own. But when this story, the particular incarnate life of Jesus Christ, Son of God, baptized in the Jordan, when this story begins to end, the ones who will go on speaking of him, proclaiming his gospel, the ones who will go out and begin the 2,000-year-old tradition of baptizing disciples in his name, they will want the Messiah to teach them to pray. And the yet-to-be-crucified one, the one who went into the desert answering to his Holy Father in heaven, the one who knows with every fiber of his being what it is to yearn for a morsel of bread, the one who could not be forced into the adversary's debt or tempted by false glory, he is the one who will teach them to pray, because he is the one who is forever delivering us out of the hands of the evil one. When we look at how his baptized incarnate life began, the new, full, and complete man is showing us what that life can bring. Right now, he is still far off from his walk in the garden. But like him, we too may find ourselves alone in the wilderness, being tried beyond our limits. And when we do, this story bears a promise. It bears the promise that when the adversary seeks to come after us in our baptized life of faith, we can have confidence in what we've received through Scripture and tradition. We have been shown that in that life, in a baptism in his name, we will no longer be subject to the eternal death which Satan claims for us. Just as the baptized life of Jesus will be realized in his resurrection, so too will our lives be brought up with him for eternity. And this is why, when we, the baptized children, come to the table and pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," we can be so bold as to proclaim that the kingdom and the power and the glory are his, because he made sure of it when he came out of the wilderness. Amen.